Good afternoon, judges. Dan Finardi, 27563. This is a criminal case in which the defendant pleaded guilty. I should tell you about rebuttal. I'll try and reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. This is a criminal case. There's a deferred judgment and sentence agreement the plea was offered by the defendant. He signed and accepted the agreement. The people signed and accepted the agreement. The court accepted the agreement. The agreement terms were no violations of law for 2 years, 48 hours of community service, and complete a theft seminar. After the plea was made and accepted, the court made handwritten notes and its own copy of the deferred judgment and sentence agreement. Notes are in the court's file, CD page 23. But the changes were not indicated on the defendant's copy. Now, the trial court said to the alternate defense counsel there that, can we get this done within 1 year? ADC said yes. The court then said to the defendant, and this is after he made any notations, he said to the defendant, what you need to do is to get these conditions done. Get proof to your attorney so you can document it with DA. So what will happen is this. In 2 years, the DA will review the file. If there's proof you paid your costs, surcharges, did your EPS, and theft seminar, and you haven't gotten in trouble, then the DA will review that, and that will be the end of it. That's what the court said to the defendant. And that statement was made after the court made changes in its own copy. The defendant's copy, what he had, said those things. 2 years, no violations of law, 40 hours of UPS, and theft seminar. The notes that were handwritten by the court in its own file were not given to the defendant, so the defendant didn't have anything.
And didn't aware.
The defendant was present when the judge said to ADC, can we get that done in a year?
You agree?
And the ADC said, yes, Your Honor. So, yes, the ADC had agreed.
So why does the lack of written notice make it a difference, any difference here whatsoever?
Because what was in written notice, written notice was given to the defendant. He was given the deferred judgment and sentence agreement, said 2 years. Then the court said to him, get this done in 2 years.
Well, it said in 2 years the DA will review the file
and
we'll see if you've complied with it. And it also had it imposed a 1 year term on the theft seminar, and there was no objection made to it. So why are they inconsistent?
Well,
because the DA would review the file in 2 years. He would see, the DA might see that the defendant hadn't completed the theft seminar within 1 year, so he could have revoked, but he would have revoked before the end of the 2 year period, filed a motion to revoke, wouldn't he?
Yes, the DA probably would have done that. The court ordered after the hearing was over, the court issued an order saying that the deferred should be reviewed on April 16th of 2009. That was the court's order. The defendant walks out of the courtroom, then the only writing he has says 2 years.
Pardon me for interrupting, Mr. Fanati, but when he walks out of the courtroom, doesn't he know the following things? First, he specifically agreed in the written document that the court could impose reasonable conditions. And second, the court had imposed a condition during the hearing. The court had said, I want you to get this theft seminar done within a year. Didn't he know that when he left the courtroom?
The court never used those words. He never said, I need you to get, or you need to get this theft seminar done in 1 year.
What words did the court use?
The words the court used were, can we get that done within a year, Mr. Anaya?
What did Mr. Anaya say?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So he was aware of it, wasn't he?
ABC was aware that he had agreed to, can we get this done within a year?
And your client, Mr. Kite, was present during that colloquy, was he not?
Yes.
Okay, so isn't it clear that he had actual notice of this condition? As Judge Bernard asked the question, he knew when he left. Your client knew when he left, didn't he? That he had to get that theft seminar done within 1 year.
I don't know how he would have known that.
By listening to the discussion.
Well, and immediately after this discussion, where the words were only, can we get that done within a year? Immediately after that discussion, the judge said, what you need to do is you need to get these conditions met. In 2 years, the DA will review the file. You need to get your UPS done, pay your costs, surcharges, do your theft seminar. Then that will be the end of it.
That interpretation belied by your client's own motion to extend the time filed before the 1 year had expired? He clearly knew that there was a one-year period because he asked for an extension, didn't he?
There appears in the court's file this handwritten motion for extension. However, the motion is filed on April 7th of 2008, says, I can't get this set up by the deadline.
So if he thought the deadline was 2 years, he would have had still another year to get it completed.
And it doesn't say what the deadline is. However, then 8 days later, the court issued an order saying the motion is denied. You've had a year.
Let me just interrupt here. Is the record, do I read the record correctly? At the plea hearing, the trial court told the defendant, you got to get that theft seminar done. And there's no completion date on the deferred judgment agreement. Can we have that done within a year? And defense counsel affirmatively answered, yes, Your Honor. The trial court then stated that it would add 1 year deadline to the written agreement on the file. And the court said, and the reason I do this is like to get this done. What you'll need to do is get that done through an approved agency, get proof of your completion to defense counsel so that he can document it with the DA. Do I read the record correctly in that regard? Did I miss something?
Well, the court never said you need to get this theft seminar done within a year, I'll add that to.
The court said, can we have that done within a year? And defense counsel affirmatively answered, yes, Your Honor. The trial court then stated that it would add a one-year deadline to the written agreement in the file. And the reason, and he quote, the reason I do this is I like to get this done. Is that correct?
The court said.
Did the court say what I said?
No.
Oh, I'm reading the record incorrectly?
In the record, the court does not say I'm adding this one-year deadline to the agreement. The people in their answer interpreted it as the court saying that it would add the one-year deadline to the agreement. But that's not exactly what the court said. The court never said, I'm adding a one-year deadline. The word one-year and deadline were never used by the court in a sentence. So it's the interpretation of the people that the court meant I'm adding the one-year deadline.
Well, let's assume that we have some dispute as to what the record says and what it means. Could you answer Judge Casebolt's question? The mayor, his question. What difference is this case? Why is the writing so important?
The writing is important because that is something for the defendant to review to see what's required of him.
If it's not in writing, it's no good. Is that correct?
Well,
I answer my question, yes or no?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Bonnie, you are at about a little over 2 minutes if you want to reserve some time.
I will stop for now.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan Friedman, representing the people in this matter. My registration number is 34450.
What is your name?
Susan Friedman. Sure, I've got a cold. Sorry. So, what the trial court found at the post-conviction hearing was that a person of reasonable intelligence would have understood that he had to complete the theft seminar within 1 year. And because the record supports that, it should be affirmed. I just think it's a very simple case. They litigated the defendant's ability to understand and put on evidence of whether or not he understood, but there was no evidence in the record. He didn't testify that he didn't understand. And of course, we have the motion for an extension of time, which strongly suggests that he did understand.
Can you clear up the dispute for us, please, counsel, about what exactly was said at this hearing? I understand the record will indicate that, but Mr. Fanati said that there was no statement by the court that it was adding the one-year term to
well,
the
I
record.
Think, Justice Rivera was reading directly from the record, as far as I can tell. I have a copy here, and it just says, the two-year deferred sentence is appropriate. You've got to get that theft seminar done. There's no completion date on the deferred sentence agreement. Can we have that done within a year? And counsel says yes.
What about the subsequent statement in your brief that the court said that it was adding the condition?
It says, I'm just going to add that to the deferred sentence agreement. So that's, I was interpreting that, and it is written on the agreement. So putting those together. Yeah.
What difference does it make, and perhaps you can answer Judge Cashbolt's question, what difference does it make whether he had a written notice or not, if he had got actual?
I don't think that it makes a difference for the purposes of this proceeding. There's an argument about whether the probation statute applies, but we are in a 35C context, so what we're really talking about is constitutional sufficiency of notice and fundamental fairness. So I think that over and over again, courts have held that actual notice is sufficient in that context as far as due process goes.
State then.
I don't believe that that probation statute applies to a deferred judgment, but I'm not sure the applicability of the statute is really properly raised in a 35C. So I was sort of approaching it more in terms of the constitutional sufficiency of the notice. And in that case, I do think that actual notice does serve the fundamental fairness basis for due process. If there are no further questions, I would simply rest on the careful, considered arguments of the brief. Thank you.
In rebuttal, judges, I would just add that the actual notice, if the defendant's pro se motion is taken to be actual notice, that he had notice of this, it's dated April 7th of 2008. When did he get this actual notice? If he was contacted by the prosecution, it doesn't appear on the record.
Isn't the actual notice at the plea hearing where the trial court says, can you get this done within a year? And the answer is yes. So isn't that the actual notice? He knew, as Judge Bernard phrased it, when he walked out the door, he had to get that theft seminar done within a year. That was notice to him. Tell us why that's not the case.
Because it was not clear to the defendant what...
How do we know that?
We don't know that it wasn't clear. We know that...
Because it wasn't in writing?
We don't have any reason to support the argument that it was clear. The statement was made, can we get that done within a year? That, after that was said, then the 2 years were said again. In writing, the 2 years are said, only the 2 years are said. The defendant did not get the 1 year.
Is there any evidence in the record to support that? Your client didn't testify at the post-conviction hearing, did he? He didn't testify, I didn't know there was a 1 year deadline, did he?
No.
Was there any evidence put on at all about the 1 year deadline? And when I mean evidence, I mean factual evidence about what your client knew or didn't know.
No, that was evidence of he did not testify at the hearing, and there was not evidence of that. The only thing we have is the motion April 7th asking for an extension of a deadline of April 16th. So, and April 15th, the court responded. So that gave him 1 day. He didn't get it done.
Your time has expired. Thank you both for your arguments this afternoon. The case will stand submitted. We'll get you a written opinion in due course.